Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we are on the chapter 6. How to discharge devotional service. Yeah, and we finished that one should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. Okay, so the sixth one. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain.
So that means that one has to be above dualities. Now, to be above dualities, then one has to be self-realized. So, in the beginning, it's not expected that the devotee will be self-realized, but at least the dynamics of trying to see everything as Krishna's arrangement should be there. That means that one, if there is some loss, one may, you know, suffer. One may maybe a bad experience. But if we try to see that in connection with Krishna, then we may actually understand and realize that it wasn't such a loss. And same if we gain suddenly something like, well, maybe our friend wins in the lottery, you know, millions of dollars, and he gives us $5 million. Then it's a sudden gain, and then one should now think, wow, now I can buy whatever I want, I can enjoy myself as I want and do whatever I want. Or so then it's likely that one will fall for it, and one will suffer as much as he will be in loss, maybe even more. So if it's sudden gain, then we should immediately either know what we are going to do with it, and it should be in the line of devotional service before we get attached to it. Once attached, it's very difficult for us to decide what to do with it. And if we see that we cannot do really anything about it, it will be now very difficult, then we should not accept it. There is no need to. So, before anything like that happens, we should already think and know what are we going to do in that situation. Then, one can be equipoised. One can be dhira. That means that balance. There is so much of gain, like, okay, let's take it and then donate it to the temple. And if there is so much loss, then, well, what to do? No, now I have to work again for it. I have to, you know, gain it some other way. And if it's irreplaceable, no, then, well, what can I do? I cannot replace it anyway. So work for it will be just as useless as,
So then rather just, okay, if I cannot replace it, I have to do some work. Okay, let me then be involved in devotional service. This is permanent. There is always gain from performance of devotional service. So that's the meaning. And a person who is self-realized, then he doesn't see any dualities. For him, any situation, anything which is there, it's seen as one actually which he can benefit from. But it is to be seen in the proper light. As an example, there was one guru with few disciples, and they were traveling. And then once they were entering, forest, and they came into one hut, and there was the mother in the house. She was crying. And then they inquired, "Well, what happened? Now, why are you crying? What is that?" He said, "My son got lost, and we don't know where he is." And at that moment, when she was saying, then maidservant came, and she was saying, "I was taking water from the well, and the rope snapped. So then the pot with the water fell into the well." So the disciples immediately, "Oh, bad omen, bad omen. No, the rope has broken. That means you will not see your son again." And the guru said, "No, it's not like that. The water in the pot by the rope breaking unified again with the water in the well. No, in contrary, the son will come very soon." And the next day, then she found her son, and they again got united. So it's very much important, before we start explaining something, that we actually understand what it is and properly interpret it. Because anything can be done, present as bad or good. Depends on our presentation, depends on the person's values, depends on his point of view. So there is nothing absolutely good in the material world and absolutely bad in the material world. Everything is good for somebody and bad for somebody. But this is only when we perceive it through the material consciousness. On the spiritual, on the self-realized level, there is nothing good and nothing bad. Everything which is useful for devotional service is good. But which is not connected to Krishna, which is not useful, is bad. And in the eyes of others, it may be seen as a greatest activity. But no, one may build huge hospitals just to spread his fame, his name. But if it's not connected with Krishna consciousness, then it's pointless, it's useless. So we have to be aware of that. Yes?
So in this connection, is it important for us when we are presenting the philosophy to others to begin with the positive side? Because I see many devotees is arguing with the dogs.
You see, it depends very much on the situation. If the person is very much not against, and there is something, so it may be good at that moment first to present what actually the negative side of the other things are, just to get him out of the thinking. But this is in a situation when the distance it's very much, so just to cut the improper consciousness. But if somebody is not really opposing, or somebody is just really inquisitive, he likes to know, then you can present what the positives are, because ultimately this is the, that's what takes him or makes him attracted to devotional service. So it's case to case. You cannot generalize one activity and apply it on everybody. So therefore it's so important that one realizes the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, it's up to each one may have different level of realization. But what we realize, then we should preach. Because then we can understand how to apply it. And this is what people will be looking for. They want practical application. Not many are really interested in philosophy, which you cannot apply in your life. But the Vedic culture, the Vedic philosophy is so perfect that you can apply it at any moment in your life. So it's very practical. One has to be convinced about it and present how it can be applied. Then it will be taken. Then it will be used. So it's up to us now to try to understand what is there, try to see the principles behind behind the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. How they connect to the principles of always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Understanding that, then yes, we can explain. And we can explain everything. In principle. Yes? So then next, seventh. One should not disrespect the demigods. So as with every living being, we should not disrespect the living beings. Because every living being has the potential to become a devotee of the Lord. So, and the demigods, on top of that, they are assigned by the Lord to take charge of certain activities in the universe. So they have a position. So we should not take it very cheaply. We don't have to worship them. They are doing it because the Lord gave them this order. Some do it knowingly, and they are devotees of the Lord. Some do it unknowingly, and then they think that they are the doer, they are the position, and they cannot take full advantage of that. But in either case, same like other living entities, they are also respectable, because they are jivas. So it's a matter of time when they will become purified and go back to Godhead. So we may not get too close to them, we may not be able or not want to associate with them, that's not a problem. But we don't have to disrespect. There's no need for that. In fact, disrespect, if you want to disrespect something, that means you have to find something bad in the person to disrespect. To find something or to keep looking for something bad because you want him to disrespect. So that means that you will be also developing the bad quality you are looking for. So by disrespecting something, you are actually also falling down. You are developing the same quality as you are looking at the persons for the disrespect. So if you disrespect, there is also very good chance that you will be disrespected. The first principle in in leadership is that if you want ever to be a good leader, you have to know how to follow. If you don't know how to follow, nobody will follow you. Because you don't know how to take shelter, then you don't know how to give shelter. And that applies in all over the world, or it applies in one's family, in any relationship. You want to be able to lead, you have to know how to follow. So the authority of the demigods are there in the sense that they take care of us. They provide. So for that, we should give respect. But that's about it. And we don't have to go farther than that. But why would be disrespect? Even Krishna, when he showed the Govardhan Leela, it wasn't that he disrespected Indra. He only showed the Vrishbhasis that there is no need for it because he is going to do it anyway. And of course, he wanted to teach Indra a lesson because he was not thinking right about himself. So Krishna did a few things at once. And at the same time, then he showed the Vrishbhasis they don't have to fear anything because Krishna is here and then he will protect. So Krishna is the ultimate shelter. So many things at once. But this point is very important to understand. Yes?
Would there be a line between disrespect and discrimination? I mean, something is not doing well, but you discriminate, but you keep to yourself.
What's discrimination? Discrimination is a function of intelligence. You have to discriminate, right? I mean, if you stand in front of a river and you have to discriminate if it's solid or if it's liquid. If you don't discriminate and you say, oh no, it must be okay. So you step in it, you will take a bath. So to discriminate, it's a function which you use all the time. You have to. If you don't, then you won't survive, very long. So discrimination, it's very natural. And then you discriminate based on your values. So something is important for you, so you discriminate such a way, so then you follow what's important for you, and then you avoid what should be avoided. But the values, this is your standard. If you value to take bath in the morning, you will look for a place where there is a water. If you don't value, then it doesn't matter to you. You won't care. So, but then disrespect is you have something maybe personal, or you have something, again, something which you cannot understand, or it's against your values, or it's you disagree with. So you see, based on your discrimination, that something is not right as you would do it. But there is no need for disrespect. The disrespect is further action which you take that, he's trying to prove something, or he thinks he's such a big guy, and then I have to just show him that he is not, and do something, then defy him or do something like that just to show disrespect. But that doesn't have to be done. And especially we have to understand that there is a position of a person and the person himself. Now, we may have a problem with the person, but because of our anarthas, we may connect the person and the position into one entity. So when we have some problem with the person, then we immediately start having problem with the position. So if we have no respect for the person, and then we show no respect for the position also, then where do we take shelter? We are supposed to take, we are under authority of somebody. So, okay, the temple president, right? He is my authority. So, but I don't like him. So then, because I don't like him, then I will not accept his authority as a temple president. So I will do whatever I want to do. So then what example will I be now for the other devotees? I won't be able to stay. And it's likely that maybe just I will not be able to take anybody's authority, because I'm supposed to be the temple president, but no, since he is and his bogus and this, that, it's the problem may not be with him. The problem may be with me. So he's a temple president, and if I'm under his authority, then I should find ways how I can follow his authority. But as a person, if I don't like him, I don't have to be with him 24 hours a day. It can be just relationship based on, okay, you asked me to do, I did it. You as authority asked me to do, then it's done. But as a person, no, sorry, but no, I don't need no your association as such. But it can all be worked out very nicely.
So we should work this inside, right? Not like the problems when you, let's say that you don't like the temple president, when you get unsatisfied and you want to externalize that, rather than working that inside yourself, understanding his position, how you can follow, how can you adjust and follow him.
You see, very easily everything is worked out if we follow Trinarapi Sunicha. No?
Okay.
So, and if somebody is not, and we are, anyway it works. But then we, well, why is he not humble? No, why only me? Then that's a problem. But if we can, well, no. As long as he's authority, then I can still follow the authority. But as long as we think that we have choices and we can do this and we don't have to do that, now, no, we should be liberal with everything, there's a freedom of this and freedom of that, no, and he is like this, so therefore I don't have to do it, no, then we will never find the goal of our life. We will never find actually what we are supposed to do. Because in this world, nothing is perfect.
Coming back to your example then, if I finally can't deal with this president, and then I could find another authority and continue the service.
Well, yes,
yeah.
But that can be done, if it cannot be worked out otherwise.
Finally.
But it should be done not properly, according to not the culture which we follow. Mm-hmm. But it's still, it can be that that I cannot work it out, no, it can be easily my fault.
Yeah, no,
maybe it wasn't, but still, something was there, no, otherwise it would work out. So if we have this mood, then anybody else, anywhere else, we would be accepted anyway, no, with a warm welcome. But if we are known as, no, fault-finding person, no, fighting with everybody, then it's unlikely that we will be able to stay anywhere. And then what's on top of it, we will never think that it's our fault. Everybody else will be no at fault, not we. That's great illusion, which we fall for.
mention that, but it happened to me as a bhakta that I went to a temple, and the temple presence was a very sankirtan, book distributing devotee. He was motivated by that. And I couldn't as yet get engaged to that level. So he would put me on the road, I would cry all day, come back to the temple, talk to him many times, but then said, no, just go back and do your mind until it's grinded, and then you'll be fine. And then, you know, finally I said, it's my fault, I can't do it. So just another, he stopped for 30 talk, and then I took shelter. And he understood nothing but help. But I could easily have disrespected him, saying, oh, you don't understand, I can't do it. But I tried to work out inside myself. And it worked out.
Yeah, so that's why it's it's important actually to find the at least working relationship if we cannot find actually the close, not deep relationship. Because then at least we can work on something which by which we can purify ourselves.
In this regard, is it possible to have a relationship with a teacher if you do not like the person as a person and you just want to be taught and get the knowledge? Is that possible?
Well, you see, Prabhupada said that the devotee should be able to take knowledge from anybody. No. Even from Shudra you can take knowledge. You can take gold from a filthy place. So, if the teacher, you happen to be the student of the teacher, you don't like him, so then, still, see, if you have personally something, you keep something, against him, you will be biased. You will develop some, maybe, doubts or maybe misgivings, you will not be able to take
knowledge,
because there will be pride. So you won't be able to take the knowledge. But if you are humble, so even though personally you may not have not so great relationship with the teacher, but still what he is saying would be all right, you understand it, you can take that, apply it, you will benefit. So maybe later you will develop deeper relationship, maybe not in the beginning, maybe not immediately, but it will be there. But as long as you are not developing the fault finding mentality or and for that there must be some respect. So if not to the person, at least to the position which he has. So if he is your teacher, then at least the respect that he is teaching you should be there. Yes.
Sure, wasn't it that you'll receive the knowledge but won't be able to apply it?
If you?
I remember that part. Is that the circumstance that you don't like your teacher?
Well, if you have no respect, means that's when you are ungrateful. And that's different. Ungrateful is another step up or down, depending on how you take it. Because actually, it is said in the Shastra that there is a remedy for any kind of offense. Even for killing a Brahmana, there is a remedy. But for ungratefulness, there is no remedy. So yes, you will not be able to use.
Going back to the demigod, with this topic, if you disrespect, you're also not realizing that some element which you're using to live has been provided by him. One of the elements would be the 33 million, right? One of them would be responsible for.
Everything is provided by the Lord.
Okay.
So if we are aware of that, then we see them as a basically like the postman, right?
Okay.
He is just delivering. So we don't have problem with that,
But the postman, we don't have to really now worship him when he brings a letter to us. He is just delivering. No, but for somebody, he may see the postman as the good person, the one who brings the good news. But in any case, he is just delivering. So the demigods, they are the same position. But if we don't understand that the demigods are actually the persons who actually deliver the goods of the Lord, then we may be bewildered and we may see them as the ultimate authorities. But it's due to our ignorance. So we have to educate ourselves to be able to see past that. So Gyan and Vigyan. By that, then we can see farther.
It happened to Narada Muni with Brahma, right? In one second. He thought Brahma was, and then Brahma tell him he's not the Supreme Lord.
Well, yeah. That's because Brahma, he is a devotee, so he understands that he is not the supreme, he is just the secondary creator. Yeah. But some Brahma may not be devotee, so then he may actually think that he is the supreme, because there is really nobody else around. But that Brahma will have difficulty when the demigods the demons are fighting, and if they get more powerful, what he will do? Now, our Brahma, he knows, and then he approaches the Lord. But if some other Brahma thinks that he is the supreme, then he must be able to deal with every situation himself, which he may not be able to. Yes?
Understanding of the demigods, they are, like you said, postmen. And what we are receiving through them is actually coming from the Supreme Lord. That understanding is also there in our dealings with other people who are not demigods, like other authorities and people who give us things.
The authorities must be respected.
Right.
Chain of authorities. Your mother, she is your mother no matter what. She puts her time and energy into you, and she is your mother throughout your life. So, in proper cultural society, mother is always respected. It's in other societies, which are not so cultured, that the mother may be disrespected and not done so many. But that's because they actually are not into accepting authorities as such. But because of that, they are in such a mess. But if we have properly functional families and a society, you don't see that. So the mother is respected as authority, father is respected as authority, the teacher, the guru. And then, ultimately, Krishna is going to be accepted as a final authority. But if we don't accept authorities before that, we think that we are the supreme, why would we accept Krishna? Suddenly, why? There's no reason. Yes.
So in the late 60s in at least Western Europe and United States, we had this youth movement that rejected authority per se. So now they are the authorities. So how to deal with that?
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an education which can only bring the proper understanding. Unfortunately, the education now, as you have it in the schools are now, it's a business.
Yeah.
So it's all about money. Nobody really cares about education. And in fact, the value of education is going down because the grades and everything what they learn worse and worse. So the demands are less.
just to keep the same amount, no, the same numbers.
So answer is to go to India and take instructions from...
Well, the answer is then give schools, no, to the educators and not to the businessmen. And then let the educators, let the teachers, no, properly decide what should be done and how it should be done, not based on how much money it makes.
Okay, so but I'm thinking of ordinary people who live in the West.
Yes.
They can't really take school and give it to...
Right.
I mean, they don't have these facilities.
They don't. So then they should be seeking for actually, no, real purpose, a real goal in their life. See, it's unfortunate when, you know, in the schools or in the countries, they teach you certain way how you should live, what you should do, and you are going to be affected by it if you want or don't. It doesn't matter. But if you understand that there is something beyond what the government or what the school is telling you, then you have to have some little desire, some faith that there is something more. Then, when you come across to somebody who knows more, explains you something more, something else, that you get desire to know something beyond what you know until now. So if you come across devotees and the devotees explain to you that we are not the Supreme, we are not the God, we are the servants of God. So then, who is God? Who is the Supreme? So they can explain. So then if we understand that that may be our position, with little faith, we can take the instruction, follow their advice, and then get more faith. But if we don't, oh, you guys are crazy, you have to follow, no, four godly principles. No, I wouldn't do that. No, it may be. But look at this, the hippies, no, when Srila Prabhupada comes into New York, they were the hardcore hippies. But they were able to follow. So, without authorities, we cannot exist. So we have to learn how to accept authority, then only we can become an authority. And for the process of accepting Krishna's shelter, so we have to accept the shelter of our authorities to be able to understand what actually we are looking for. Yes.
In relationship to this, this respecting the divine, we established that there's no need to worship the divine gods, you know, separately from Krishna. So my doubt is, why is it so that when we're coming to the Dham, we have to worship Shiva, or at least ask him for permission to be able to see the Dham? Because we're coming and we're worshiping
okay.
The deities.
Now, who is Shiva? Shiva, he is the best of the Vaishnavas. And then, what did Krishna give Lord Shiva as his task to do? Right. So, he is the protector of the Dham. So, he sees that those who have bad intentions cannot enter the Dham. So, to be able to enter the Dham, then you have to be able to convince Lord Shiva that you don't have bad intentions. Because through him, you may actually realize, you may see the Dham. Without his permission, you may be even physically, you know, in the Dham, but you may not understand or see the Dham. You may go to Vrindavan, but you will see Vrindavan as dirty, filthy place, bad people, no, everything is bad, I don't want to be there, I want to leave. That's because your intentions are not good. Devotees who come with good intentions, and those who get to enter the Vrindavan, then they don't see like this. He could, but because Mahadev is his dear devotee and he wants to perform service, Krishna leaves the service on him. So out of his mercy, he gives this to Mahadev to take care of that. And in fact, Mahadev is very easy to be pleased. So with him doing this duty, we do get much better chance entering the dham than if Krishna would take care of it himself.
So that connection, what should we offer? Just our prayers, or should we offer?
Yes, you can offer prayers. You can offer Mahaprasad, like we do now with Radha Madhava's Mahaprasad. All gets offered to Mahadev. But when you offer, always respect them as best of the devotees, best of the Vaishnavas. That's the right mood. Then he is very pleased. Yes. Well, first of all, it should be that we should come to the devotee and try to work it out. Ask him, no, why is he angry with us? What did we do? And then, hearing what we did, then we have to analyze. And if we did something wrong, then we have to be able to humble ourselves and say, oh, I didn't know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like this. Or it was my fault, so please forgive. Because if somebody is angry with us, something is there which we did, willingly or unwillingly. So even if we did something unwillingly, we can apologize for that. I mean, it's not such a big deal. So we have to first figure out what actually it is that made the devotee angry. And then for maintaining the relationship, then we can, and seeing that we actually did something, or we did something which led to something else which made him angry, we can apologize. And then generally this kind of attitude fixes the situation. So just simple apology. Now if we say, see that somebody else did something wrong, and we correct him for that, and he is angry with that we are correcting him, there is nothing we should apologize for. But so I'm saying we have to analyze, we have to discriminate what is the right thing to do. So if we did everything the right way, then still explain. We can explain, Prabhu, what you did was wrong. So I just corrected you, and that was right from my position to do. Now, if he is angry and he is very personal and this, well, okay, from now on, well, I will not correct you at all. But you have to find somebody else as your authority, if you are his authority, or it will not really work. Well, I cannot just work with you. You don't expect me. You don't accept me. You don't know. I cannot really expect that you will follow me. So it's that cannot be worked out. So again, situation to situation, seeing what was our role in that devotee being angry. You can have a thief, right? And then because we tell somebody that, he is a thief, he gets angry. So we don't have to apologize. I'm sorry, I'm sorry that I tell police that you are a thief. No, you don't have to be sorry for that. So that's, you did the right thing and he did the wrong thing. But if there is that we, by our activity, even unwillingly, did something wrong, we can apologize for that. Because nobody is perfect. Not even we are perfect, so. You see, yes, that's all on the level of still dualities, happiness, unhappiness. But the person who is above all this, then he doesn't see difference between happiness and unhappiness. Because the happiness, it's an expression which shows that say you are close to somebody, you are happy because of something. But unhappiness is a separation. But the separation will make you even to more endeavor to again come close to unite with that person or with that thing, activity, whatever it may be. So even unhappiness is just it will create more endeavor to become happy again. Yes.
So if we have offended the devotee, we have sincerely apologized, and we are not willing to accept our apology, what should we do?
Well, what can you do? No. You try, and then if there is nothing, why is he not, accepting the apology, maybe it was so grave or just he's so upset, then only what you can do, then take shelter of the holy name. But you have to try to appease the devotee. But try to work out with him. If you cannot, then just fully surrender to holy name, and then repent. Can you do? Now you should not try to approach a devotee. Yeah, no. I'm sorry that I did it, but you also did so many bad things, and that's not the way how you are trying to apologize to somebody. And one should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. Well, we discussed that. Yes. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshipping the deity in the temple. So, the 10 offenses against the holy name. And while worshipping the Lord in the temple. And we'll be going through it more in detail later on. But the holy name, ultimately, Krishna in this form, he is the most merciful. He is. There is no rule and regulation on when we can chant the holy name or how we should try to avoid the offenses. But when... So no rules, no regulations. So therefore, Krishna, he's actually in this form the most merciful. So if he is, then how do we reciprocate? Krishna is giving us the mercy. that just by chanting the holy name you are associating with the Lord. By chanting you can go back to Him. So this is ultimate mercy. And then if we are going to be disrespectful or we find some faults or no, we don't care, then Krishna is our best friend, may get hurt. So then we should develop some more affection for Krishna. Because Krishna as a person is no different from Krishna as the holy name. Unfortunately, through our ignorance, we don't know that. We, again, apply our dualities, that the name cannot be the person. But on the transcendental platform, the person, his pastimes, his qualities, and his name are the same person. So therefore, we should constantly chant the holy name to be able to realize this. Yes?
It's also said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most personal
incarnation. So what is... Because he appears as in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is his best devotee. She wants that everybody, all the jivas, become a devotee because she knows how blissful it is to serve the Lord, because she is the internal potency of the Lord. So she knows the bliss, but Krishna doesn't. So Krishna wanted to experience what is the bliss of serving himself. So he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So because of that, then he is basically unlimitedly merciful. Because of that mood. So, and what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now preaching? What is he giving? Harinam, Bhagavatam. It's all about the holy name. Because he knows that this is the way how we can achieve Krishna. And he knows what he's talking about. And what is Rupa Goswami and what is Srila Prabhupada now preaching? The same thing. So now it's up to us how much we want to stay in the ignorance, not to accept this, and look for some other alternatives how we become happy. All the acharyas say that there is no other way, no other happiness than this. Everything else is temporary. So if we accept this and try to look into how to find this happiness, then with determination and with detachment, we will find it. But if we are too much attached to the material situation, then it's unlikely. That's the ultimate position.
Mm-hmm. And that's totally spotted in a certain moment, because in that moment you have no possibilities of increasing your chanting purity. Okay.
Yeah.
So, how do you know that you have passed that stage in the previous? The first, in the beginning, we still have material attachment, that's an offense, we still have. We're not chanting purely. There's a certain point where it's not benefic any longer. Could you
Okay, look, it's when you, we chant, first is now aparat, it's the offenses. Now, when with the offenses, no, we see, as we before explained, no, in the heart there are many offenses which suddenly they just start to be aware of those. Now, as long as we are determined to get rid of them, if not at the same time, maybe one by one. But the dynamics must be that we are determined to, you know, progress. We don't give up. So then we are progressing. But as soon as we think, okay, this is enough. Now I feel satisfied. I am on the platform. Everybody respects me. Now I feel good. Then you are falling down. There is no way how you can stop and be at one place. When you stop in the progression of devotional service, you are falling down. So if we see that our relationships are progressing, that our ways with the devotees, that we are satisfied with the devotional service, we are, you know, our authorities are satisfied with what we do, then there is a good chance that we are actually progressing. Ultimately, it's to see if your guru is, you know, satisfied with activities which you are performing. If yes, then yes, you are progressing. But if you think that, oh, you are so great, but nobody else is satisfied, then it's generally a sign that we are not progressing. The chanting of the holy name, there should be some taste for, some little attachment, some attraction. At least, if, you know, when we chant for, you know, years. So if there is nothing there, then maybe it is that we are not performing the activities the way we should. And unfortunately, from what I can see, that in many cases it could easily be Vaishnava Parat, which makes one not to actually properly taste the devotional service. This is something which we have to avoid. To be able to avoid Vaishnava Parat, then it's a simple, very, very simple way how we can do that. And that is learn how to respect everybody, every living entity, how to respect. We don't have to, really go around, look for issues, find faults on others, and then just make a scene out of it. We don't have to do that. So that will be the most it will be a common cause of difficulties we can experience. But as soon as we come above this platform, that we can actually see that we don't have to blaspheme, we don't have to find the faults on others, we don't have to do that, then we can start progressing. So one feels that now within, in the heart, now how the progress is. We have to be honest now, at least to ourselves. Now, by criticizing others, even though it makes us feel very good, eventually we should not expect that this is a way how we progress, how we elevate ourselves. So it's a simple, no, darate prati grihnati, guhe makichi prichati, bhungte bhojayate. By following this, then naturally we will progress. Yeah?
Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,